We are continuing our study in 2 Corinthians, the chapter 4, and we're going to look at two verses this morning in the will of the Lord, the verses 3 and 4 of this chapter 4. We'll read from the verse 1, since we have studied the opening verses at some length, they will serve perhaps to prompt your memory and bring back to your mind some of the things we have already discussed, and lead us then on into the two verses we wish to look at this morning. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But if. Paul has been emphasizing, extolling the glories of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how plainly they are set forth in our New Testament. Now he turns to a very sad truth, namely, not everyone can see the gospel's glory. Not everyone. Paul has been speaking, as you know, in the previous chapter, about how in the Old Testament there was a limited revealing given unto the people, limited in comparison to that which is bestowed upon us in this New Testament age. This is a time of clarity, a time of plain speaking. Paul used that very phrase concerning his own preaching. He said that he used plainness of speech. He was enabled to use plainness of speech. The obscurity of the Old Testament revelation was symbolized by the veil upon Moses' face, when the glory of God was shining there after his time of fellowship and communion with God, and that veil was placed upon his face, the people were frightened of what they saw. And it symbolized just that Old Testament era when there was a veil drawn over much of the glorious truths of God. And there was not that plainness of speech that we have today. Now Paul says, but not everybody sees the glorious gospel. Not everybody has this revelation given to them. Not everybody enjoys this bright view of the things of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There are those to whom the gospel is hidden, those for whom there is no seeing of that which excites and thrills the child of God. They cannot see it. Of course, it is no fault of the gospel that they cannot see its bright glory. But rather, the fault is to be traced to the state and to the character of those for whom it is hidden. When a blind man cannot see the sun, it's not the fault of the sun, it's the fault of the man's eyes. He cannot behold that which others clearly behold, for there is not a functioning of those organs by which others see. And if today, in our gathering, there are those who see nothing of the gospel, then it is not the fault of the gospel. It is because they are blind to the gospel. The gospel is hidden to them. There are two things I want to draw your attention to today. First of all, I want us to think about the consequences for those for whom the gospel is hidden. I want us to think about the consequences. The consequences, if the gospel is hidden, is summed up for us in a simple word: lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those who cannot see the gospel are lost. They're lost. Let's think for a moment of this word, hid. What does it mean? Well, it means to put a veil over something. Perhaps the English translation here, hid, robs it of something of its vitality and robs it of something of its relevance, because Paul has been talking about the veil, hasn't he? He's been talking about the veil that was upon the face of Moses. He's talking about the veil that is today upon the heart and mind of Israel generally, and they cannot see their Messiah. And that's the meaning of this word that is translated by our English word hid. It could well have been translated that if our gospel be veiled, concealed by a veil, then it is veiled to them that are lost. And we would perhaps thus see the connection with the thoughts that Paul has been developing in earlier chapters. It's a word, you know, that is linked to stealing. The Greek word there has its links with the word that is used to steal. It's to take something and conceal it. The way the thief will take something that is not his and conceal it. Hide it from view. And that's what's happening here. When the gospel is hidden, it's being veiled, it's being cloaked, it's being covered and kept out of view, out of the view of the sinner. The light is stolen away from the unseeing sinner. If our gospel it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's light that has been stolen. Gospel light is concealed from those who are lost. We have this same action illustrated to us using a different analogy, one that we're very familiar with, in Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Here's the thief at work. Here's the thief at work. Silently he and swiftly he moves upon the heart, upon the mind that is brought into contact with the gospel, and like the bird in the parable, he steals away that which would impart the knowledge of Christ. This is what we're talking about then when we are looking at this word hid. It's a stealing away and hiding. It's a removing away, a concealing. And if you today are not saved, it's because time and time and time and time again, the light has been stolen from you. You have been robbed again and again and again. Robbed even though you have been told that the robber is coming. You've even been given the time. You have even been told when the robber has been at work. But so crafty is the robber, you still didn't recognize that you were being robbed. The gospel stolen. The gospel hid. The evidence of the gospel being hid is suggested to us here. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How do you know a person from whom the gospel has been hidden, from whom the gospel has been stolen? How do you know such a person? Well, It's not really too difficult. This same word, this word hid, is employed by the Lord Jesus in another parable, chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel. Chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel, the verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Our word is in that verse, and it's translated by a different English word. It's the word covereth. That's the same word. And can't you see how clearly we are told what has happened when the gospel is preached and yet stolen away, concealed, hidden from the sinner? It's like a man lighting a candle and then putting a basin over it. There's absolutely no light escapes. The candle is burning bright, but you can't see anything of it. For it's concealed, it's covered around, it's veiled. How do you know someone who has had the gospel hidden from them? They're in utter darkness. That's how you know. They're in utter darkness. They see nothing at all of the truth of the gospel. Folk have been out looking up into the night sky of late to see this comet. I remember one night just after we finished the meeting in the Jesus Saves Mission Church in Belfast, we went out of the church heading for home, and there were a group of young folk. Not so easy to see the night sky and the city with all its bright lights, and they were up and they were pointing it over there. Can't you see it? Where? Over there. And this discussion was going on. As someone whose eyes had spotted it and focused in upon it was trying to direct the attention of others who just couldn't quite pick it out. My dear friend, we've been seeking to point out Christ to you, God's bright and shining comet of truth. But you can't see it. Can't see that light. Can't see that truth. It's concealed. It's hidden. That's how you know. That's how you know someone who has had the light of the gospel hidden from them, stolen away. They're in darkness. They're in darkness. In 1 Corinthians, the chapter 1, the very familiar verse 18, for the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. We're talking about the same folk here, because the word perish there is the same word as the word lost in the verse 3 that we're looking at. Talking about the same people. And how do you know someone from whom the gospel has been hidden? They think it all foolishness. It's less than wise. It doesn't impress them at all as being a wise thing. Just a foolish thing. Something to be dismissed. It's a matter of lightness, of no consequence. You can't grip their attention. They're not interested. It's foolishness. They just put up with the meeting, put up with the message, put up with the preaching. It's all foolishness because their minds are blinded. Can't see. Can't see it. Can't get out quick enough to strike up a conversation about anything other than the gospel because it's all foolishness. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. It sounds like double dutch. Can't understand anything of it. That's someone who has had the light stolen away. Had the light stolen away. Now and then, there comes to our home someone who visits and gets round to talking about computers. And I have an interest in them and know just a little bit about them. Now, computers have a language and a terminology that's all of their own. And when you start employing these terms, those who are not interested and really not into it at all. You can just see them wilting and dying, and written all over their face, boring stuff, this old computer. So visible, so clear, so manifest. Just no interest. My friend, I see a similar look on the eyes of those, on the countenance of those from whom the gospel light is hidden. Foolishness. That's all it is, just foolishness to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, we see something of the marks or the evidence of those from whom the gospel has been hidden. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The men who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ were men from whom the gospel was hidden. From whom the gospel was hidden. Paul says, if it had not been hidden from them, they would never have done what they did. The crucifying of the Lord of glory. Think of that. It can only be explained by the fact that those who crucified him could not see who he was. And that's how we explain today your attitude to the Lord Jesus, your response to the gospel. That's how we explain it today. You have stayed with your sin. You have gone on in the road to hell. You have rejected again and again and again salvation at the hands of Christ. Now, how can we explain this? It's hidden. It's concealed. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. The gospel, then, is hidden. We've looked at the meaning of the word. Covered over, veiled, the light concealed. We've considered the evidence of such a state. You can see and know when a person is one from whom the gospel is hidden. Then let's think about the word lost. For if the gospel concealed from someone, they're lost. If the gospel is concealed from someone, they can't see its light, and therefore they think it foolishness, and therefore they reject it. The Bible says they're lost. It doesn't say they're going to be lost. It says they are lost. Oh, my dear friends, if a child of ours wandered a little away from us and began to paddle in the shallows of a river, we would immediately be concerned. We'd see the danger. But if they went out a little bit further and were clambering over a rock and they fell in, our alarm would greatly increase. But if they were swept away by the flow of the river, by this time, what a panic would be gripping our being. But if we saw them swept out over the edge of a waterfall, and we would hold up our hands in horror and say, they're lost. That's how it is with your unsaved loved one at this moment. They're swept away. They're lost. They're not paddling in the shallows of condemnation. They're not clambering out there and slipping on the rock. They haven't just tumbled into the stream. They're lost. Do you understand that? Sinner, do you understand it? May God allow this light to break on your heart today. May God tear the devil's veil and let the light through to your heart that you are lost today. You are lost today. You are tumbling down to everlasting damnation beyond the help of man. Only the mighty hand of God can reach you and save you. You're lost. It's the word that's used in many instances in the Scripture to depict the state of the devils. In Luke chapter 4 and the verse 34, the devils themselves employ this word upon discovering that the Lord Jesus Christ had come into their presence. Verse 34, Luke chapter 4, "Let us alone, What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. That's the word that they use. They use the word that's translated in our text by lost, only it's translated here by the English word destroy. Art thou come to destroy us? You're not seeing this morning. The gospel's hidden from you this morning. You're destroyed. You're destroyed. Something that is destroyed is, humanly speaking, beyond hope of ever recovering. Cannot be fixed. Cannot be put together again. Don't you understand it? You see, today I know there fills your mind that vain hope. Well, one of these days I'll attend to this matter. But you're destroyed. You're beyond you doing anything. Oh, that you would know this. It's the same word that's used by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 17, the verses 27 and 29, when speaking of the world that was lost and destroyed by judgment and by Sodom and Gomorrah, which also was destroyed by the judgment of God. It's the same word. Same word. This is a solemn matter, my friend. When we read in John chapter 3 in the verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's the word. That's the word. Should not be lost, but have everlasting life. You're perishing without hope. That's the consequence of the gospel being hid for you. Listen, to be lost is to be as certain of hell as if you were in it. If you're not saved today, let me tell you, there's no question about you going to hell. No doubts about you going to hell. The matter is settled. It's absolutely sure. If you're not saved today, that's where you're going. There's no crossroads down the road a little bit. There's no turnoff down the road a little bit that you'd be able to avoid the destination of hell. As long as you are in darkness, you're sure of hell. You're lost. Not going to be lost. You are lost. You're as certain of hell as if you were in it. That's what the Lord here is talking about. That's the consequences of the gospel being hidden from men and women. Now, what is the cause of this blindness? What is the cause of this concealing of the gospel, the hiding of the light? What is the cause of it? Well, Paul tells us, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? There's something at work here. In whom? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what's at work here today. Hiding the light of God from some. It's hidden to you. Because the God of this world hath blinded your mind. Do you see how the devil is titled here? See what he's called? He's called the God of this world. That's a very illustrious title to be given to such a person. But he is the God of this world. There is a God-like quality to his rule and reign in the sense that he exercises power. Absolute power over many aspects of the sinner's being. He rules over them. He commands their allegiance. They obey Him, even to the extent of defying Almighty God. This is the degree to which the devil rules. And he is not lightly called the God of this world. There are those here today who are the servants and the slaves of the devil. They own him rather than the Lord as their God. When they have a choice between the command of God and the command of the devil, they follow the command of the devil because they are his servants and they are his slaves. You will go out of this meeting today in obedience to God or in obedience to the devil. There's a division in this gathering. A division here. We might all call ourselves Free Presbyterians. We might all call ourselves that. But I tell you, there is a far more marked title a more deserving title for some, and that is worshippers of the God of this world, adherents of the God of this world. How is it with you today? Look at the method that this robber of light employs. He blinds the mind. He has covered the mind with darkness. He has flooded it with dark musings and dark thoughts. That aspect, that part of our being by which we think, has been attacked by the devil and left in darkness. He whispers evil thoughts concerning the gospel. He tells sinners that the gospel will rob them of their joy, of their prosperity and standing in this world. He belittles heaven and God and says, you know, there's not really much to it all. He fills them with conceit, telling them, you don't need to listen to this. You know enough already. You know better than they do. He fills them with prejudice, causes them to despise the messengers of the gospel and the people of God generally. Fills their heart and mind with prejudice, causing a disposition of opposition toward the gospel. This is how the devil cloaks and blinds and conceals and covers over and veils the mind in darkness in order to shut out the gospel. Is that how it is with you today? Is that how it is with you today? The purpose of the devil and what it is he is pursuing is clear here, lest the gospel. He does this in order that the gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want Christ to be seen by you. That's what he's doing. He's hiding Christ. The gospel shines into a man's heart and soul, the image of God in Christ. The likeness of God, like the old slide projector, projecting the image of the slide onto a screen. So the gospel light projects the image of God to the mind and the soul of the hearer. But the devil gets in and blocks the light, lest the light shine. It tells us of the power of the gospel light, doesn't it, when that's what it is. He doesn't try to stop the preacher preaching. Oh, he may seek to do that on occasions, but generally speaking, you know, he doesn't try to stop the preacher preaching. He just gets between your mind and the gospel light. Preacher can preach away all he wants. If the devil gets between your mind and the gospel, the preacher is wasting his time, and you will go to hell. If he can effectively work by keeping the light from shining in your heart, the devil doesn't mind how many gospel meetings take place or how often you come to the gospel meeting, as long as he can keep the light from shining on your mind. It only takes the light to shine on your mind, you know, and you'll get saved. That's all it takes. Remember Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, and in consequence, she obeyed the gospel. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord let the light shine in. I am Jesus. The truth entered. Who art thou, Lord? He was in darkness. He hadn't received a revelation of who Jesus was up to that very moment. To that moment, he didn't know. And divine grace removed the darkness the devil had imposed with the words, I am Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Bible, struggling with the words of Isaiah. But his mind was enveloped in darkness. And he said to Philip, who is this? Who is this man of whom the prophet speaks? And God removed the veil as Philip preached unto him Jesus. And he got saved. God only has to lift the veil today and let the light shine in, and you'll be saved. Christian, understand what it is you have to pray for. You understand what you have to pray for. The feeblest preaching hand can hold up the light. It's not so much that we need great preaching or great preachers. We need the light to get through. We need to pray that the veil will be lifted. I want you today, if you have a loved one not saved, I want you to listen to me. I want you to pray, Lord, lift the veil. Lift the veil. Let the light in. Don't think for a moment, dear Christian, that your loved one is sitting there with the light shining and they're sort of, well, now, I can see that, I can understand that, and yes, well, I still think. No, they're not debating the question of whether or not to get saved in the light of the gospel. They're deciding to go on rejecting Christ because they're in utter dark. You pray that God will lift the veil. How the devil fears that one thing, the shining in of the light, the glorious gospel. How he puts forth his energies just to cloak the mind in darkness. You pray the light will get through today. Let's bow in prayer.